You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Pelicans, and NBA as a whole for the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day, available on iTunes and wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter, here with you all on this Tuesday, and we got a bit to talk about. A couple of things. We finally got that Anthony Davis injury update, and since you know there was no emergency pod yesterday, probably good news. And frankly, the news that came out about his injury was probably the best case scenario for the Pelicans. We'll break down the MRI, the results of that, and talk to you about the time that Anthony Davis is going to miss. And then it was also game day here in the Crescent City last night, with the Pelicans falling eventually 125 to 115 to the Golden State Warriors, but that score does not really tell you the story of the game. It was a tale of two halves, and in the second and third segments here, I'm going to break down the first half for you, talk about what the Pelicans did to build a 20-point halftime lead. That's right, if you didn't watch the game, it was a 20-point halftime lead for your New Orleans Pelicans before getting summarily destroyed in the second half. We'll talk about what went wrong there, as well as a couple of different things relating to the Pelicans that crept up in this game. So a jam-packed and informative version here on today's edition of Locked On Pelicans. So regardless of the final score for the Pelicans, today almost has to be considered a win when the news of Anthony Davis came out that there was no structural damage to that left groin, left pelvis, whatever you want to call it, injury he sustained Friday night against the Utah Jazz in what was a pretty scary injury given the kind of look of it and the optics of it, where he just kind of crumpled down on the ground with a non-contact injury and you had to kind of fear the worst at times. And certainly the Pelicans themselves made their fans, and this is kind of damning them a little bit because this is a thing they do, making them fear the worst, and that was he had an MRI Sunday. They knew the results, and the results weren't released until today at some point when Woj tweeted out that there was no structural damage. So what happens is it sounded like he had an MRI. He's had two MRIs, and Alvin Gentry said as much in the pregame presser last night. He had an MRI in Portland, and they couldn't tell. It wasn't clear enough, and so he had another one done here in New Orleans on Sunday. And the team had time to reevaluate it and take a look at it, determined that that one was very clear. There was no structural damage, and the team has listed him as day-to-day going forward. And Alvin Gentry has said they're basically just going to kind of reevaluate him each day. They're going to test him, work him out, and see how he feels. Just seeing him there, he was walking around the arena. You guys saw him on the sideline. He looked okay. He was up standing during the fourth quarter, the third quarter, alongside DeMarcus Cousins when he was on the bench for a little bit. And, you know, frankly, looked like he was okay. He was dressed. He had his jersey on. He had his headband on. It looked like he was ready to go and ready to jump into the game. But, of course, wasn't playing as he was out. So he'll be day-to-day going forward. That's what the Pelicans have said. There's a couple of reasons for this. And look, the Pelicans don't have the best track record when it comes to injuries and timetables. And maybe it's just that they put the shorter timetable out there than when a player doesn't hit that and he's going to be reevaluated again. See Quincy Pondexter. You know, it looks bad to fans being like, what's going on? Why isn't the medical staff helping him heal? You know, this team has been snake bit when it comes to injuries over the past couple of years. So any time frame that they don't hit with all of the injuries looks bad. It's kind of as simple as that. And I think this is maybe a situation where they don't want to give a specific time frame because they don't know. Alvin Gentry said he hopes it'll be sooner rather than later. I don't know what that means. It's kind of nebulous. Of course, everyone hopes it's sooner rather than later, naturally, when it comes to the Pelican star player. But what I'm gathering from talking to people within the organization, and this is by no means a hard and fast timeline here, nor anything official, let's call it back channel timeline, 2 weeks about is what it sounds like, that he's going to be out for about 2 weeks. And when we're looking at the games that are coming up, they've got the Nuggets on Wednesday, the Kings on Friday, then you've got the 76ers on Sunday, and then the Rockets the next night on Monday on the road before coming back home to take on the Bucks on Wednesday. And you've got a bunch of games. That's 1, 2, 3, 4 home games coming up over the next basically week and a half, 10 days more or less. It was 5 home games in 10 days with a road game in there if you counted last night. And some are winnable, but the Pelicans are going to have to try and sustain and at least go 500 over this time without Anthony Davis to try and remain in playoff contention. We've talked about on the podcast here how there are some tiers starting to separate themselves in the Western Conference, and the Pelicans were above the bottom playoff tier in the Western Conference, in my opinion. With this AD injury, maybe they drop a tier below, but also, as we saw tonight, they might be capable of maintaining the tier that they're in. Certainly, the Nuggets without Jokic could be a winnable game at home, though there's still a lot of firepower there. The Kings, you have to figure, even without Davis on this upcoming Friday, they should win that one. Maybe the 76ers is a toss-up. The Rockets is a toss-up. And I'd say the Bucks are a toss-up as well. So you're looking at 2 wins, 3 losses here, already factoring in a loss to Golden State. The Pelicans against the 76ers, Rockets, or Bucks need to grab a win somewhere in there. Otherwise, you're looking at 2-4 over these next, including last night, 6 games. That's going to be rough in this kind of ultra-competitive bottom of the Western Conference. Not top to bottom, but just bottom. I don't know if that gets it done. The Pelicans certainly played well in the first half against the Golden State Warriors last night. And coming up on Locked On Pelicans, we're going to be talking about that in just a moment. So for the first half of the game last night against the Golden State Warriors, the Pelicans looked like absolute world beaters. And they finished the first half up 69-49, a 20-point lead for your New Orleans Pelicans. This is pretty impressive, and when you really watched the game, there are a couple reasons for this. The first being, they really got a lot of production from the starting lineup. In the first half, let's just go through them by what I see here in the box score. Rajon Rondo played 14 and a half minutes, scored 8 points, had 10 assists, and I don't like individual plus minus, but they're worth pointing out, had a plus 27 when he was on the court. Jrue Holiday, who looked like the $126-127 million version of Jrue Holiday, and I'm going to talk about this in a second after this, was 9 of 11 from the field. 9 of 11, 2 of 4 from 3, got to the line 4 times, hit 3 of them. Who cares about any other numbers from him? He scored 23 points. He was a plus 26. DeMarcus Cousins in 15 minutes, 46 seconds, put up 11 points. He had 6 rebounds as well. Dante Cunningham in 18 minutes and 15 seconds of action was 4 of 6 from the field, grabbing 6 rebounds and 9 points. Then you had Etuan Moore, who, by the way, is having a very excellent season. I've joked, I've made comments that I feel like he's the most average player in the NBA. That is not true anymore. He is well above average. He is having, I don't want to call it an outstanding season, but like whatever a step below outstanding is. So like really good season for the New Orleans Pelicans. 19 minutes, scored 13 points. So you got a lot of production overall from this team. Also helped when Darius Miller went in. He only hit one shot, only had 2 points, but played incredible defense on Kevin Durant throughout the entire game, really, but we're talking about the first half here. But managed to hold him a little bit to just 9 points, in no small part to the defense. He was smothering him for a little while, and it was very impressive to see. And then trying to hit shots, and he really got going in the second half. The Warriors, by extension, had an off night. They were only 3 of 12 from 3 in the first half is what I have here, though. I think it might have just been 2 made threes. I could be wrong, but anyway, it doesn't really matter. They were off from 3, and that was big. One, if this Warriors team's shooting poorly from there, they're very, very beatable, though, as we're about to learn, that didn't keep up in the second half. A little bit worrisome. But the team basically was just trying to run Steph Curry off the three-point line and force him to do anything else to try and score, and he wasn't having a good go of it. He was 3 of 9 in the first half. You had Drew Holiday guarding him a bunch, though towards the end of it, it was between Darius Miller and Drew Holiday both guarding Durant on the defensive side of the ball. So you basically got everything you wanted from this team. They had 20 assists alone in the first half on these 69 points. They had 27 made field goals, 20 assists on that. Ball movement, good open shots. It's exactly what you want. Also, of their 69 points, 30 of them came in the paint, and then they shot 9 of 18 from 3. Basically, it's like a perfect storm of really, really good Pelicans here. You're scoring in the paint, you're hitting threes, you're playing defense, you're passing the ball and moving things around. It's exactly what you want. They were playing out of their minds. There's no other way to put it. Even, and this is with DeMarcus Cousins in the 24 minutes in this first half, only playing 16 minutes of them because he had 3 fouls. Also helps that Curry got 3 fouls, though that third foul came with about 30 seconds left in the half. But for the most part, the Bells were doing exactly what they wanted, limiting the three-pointers from the Warriors, getting points in the paint, hitting their own threes helps when Drew Holiday has that mentality. So Holiday, and let's talk about that for a moment here, is doing exactly what you want. And this was being a scorer. And I was talking to my buddy Tyler. Hi, Tyler. He's going to be so happy he's mentioned on the podcast. He probably isn't going to even listen tomorrow. So I'm going to wait to see if I get a text from him, if he actually paid attention today. And he should have. Shame on you for not. So we were talking about Drew Holiday. And this is, like I said, the $127 million version of Drew Holiday. He was just trying to score. He was looking to drive and score. He was looking to shoot threes when he was open. And he was just being that two-guard, that scorer that the Pelicans have envisioned. I don't think it's a coincidence, however, that Anthony Davis was out. We looked at the numbers from last year. We looked at the numbers to start the year. He struggles when both Davis and Cousins are on the court. And I don't know exactly why. I don't know really if it is he thinks he needs to be a point guard and try and distribute when they're out there, or if it's something else. But if I were a role player on the Pelicans, or anyone other than DeMarcus Cousins or Anthony Davis, put me in the body of any other player on this team, I'd feel weird when Davis and Cousins are out on the court driving 5 times to the basket trying to score. Probably about the third time I'm doing it, when I'm driving to the rim because I'm now an NBA player and not the terrible media game player that I was. Also very hungover that day. And I would feel kind of weird that I haven't gotten the ball to Anthony Davis or DeMarcus Cousins for 3 possessions. I wonder if that's just a factor. He's out there and he thinks he needs to get the ball to these guys. And frankly, again, shouldn't everyone, if you saw each one more driving 5 straight times, even if he was scoring, aren't you kind of going to be like, why isn't he passing the ball to the big birds here? I am. And I cover the team. I mean, like, what's going on here? We got to get the ball to one of these guys. Holiday, though, when he gets in the mindset of, I'm like, fuck it, I'm just going to score, is great. And then when he's like, oh, wait, I've done this 3 times in a row, maybe I need to pass it on the 4th time, is when things kind of start to fall apart for him. So tonight with Anthony Davis out, he knew what he needed to do. It was easy. Just go and do it. There was no second guessing what he was out there to do, which was score. And again, he had 23 points in the first half because of it. I think both Davis and Cousins, if he's playing like he did last night, are cool if they don't touch the ball while he's out there doing his thing. I don't know if Holiday gets that. I don't know if that's the mindset he has, but I'd be willing to bet the big birds in Davis and Cousins are, and we gotta see more nights like this from Holiday. This is how this Pelicans team has the higher ceiling than I would have thought they would have to start the year. Fortunately, it didn't keep up in the second half. We'll talk about that coming right up. So the second half for the Pelicans was an entirely different story. And I mean an entirely different story. In the second half, after posting a 20-point lead at the end of the first, were outscored by 30. It was 76-46. And to start the second half, the Warriors went on a 12-0 run, which immediately erased most of that 20-point lead for the Pelicans. And everything was kind of going wrong, and basically just everything did for the Pels. In that first half, Rajon Rondo looked like a damn Green Lantern. He was just kind of standing there, envisioning the offense, and then just created these constructs, the hard light out there. I'm going to throw in nerd references more often probably going forward in the podcast here. All DC, of course. And you had Rondo pointing guys and telling them where to go and doing what, just basically knowing what to do. And it wasn't any called play. It wasn't any set. It was just him reading what was out there, to be honest. That's why he had 10 assists in the first half. Well, in the second half and to start the second quarter, that wasn't working. The Warriors realized the Pelicans were trying to score in the paint and get down there and do damage that way, and then kicking it out to threes for open threes after the Warriors kind of rotated and adjusted. So before the Pelicans could even get the ball into the paint, they swarmed on anybody who went near there. And that led to much difficulty, let's call it, for the Pelicans on the night. In the second half, the Pelicans had just 20 points in the paint after putting up 30 in the first half. 10 less. That's not good. And Rondo, in 13 minutes, was held to just 2 points and just one assist in the second half. Not ideal. Jrue Holiday, his shot started to leave him. Maybe it was the overconfidence from the first half, was 2 of 7 from three-point range in the second half. Only scored 11 points. You had DeMarcus Cousins, who started to kind of get chippy and get frustrated and took one really bad three-pointer. Only scored 8 points, grabbed 5 rebounds in the second half. Etuan Moore continued his solid play. He put up 14. Darius Miller got going, finished with 7 in the second half, giving him, I think it was 9 on the night. And it just wasn't enough. Like some of those numbers, some of them aren't terrible. They're not great by any means. But the Pelicans got a little bit sloppy with the ball in that half. They had 12 turnovers. Not what you want. They finished with 21 on the night. And the Warriors got hot from 3. And when they do that, there's just not much you can do. Nick Young was 2 of 3, hitting big threes in the fourth quarter. Steph Curry was 4 of 6. Klay Thompson, a perfect 4 of 4. And Draymond Green, who was going at it, chippy-wise, screaming and everything with DeMarcus Cousins, was 3 of 4. He finished with 13. Klay had 20. Curry had 19. When they're putting up numbers like that, and some of those threes are well contested, there's just not much you can do. I don't think there's much any team can do in that case. And the Pelicans just kind of ran out of firepower. And, you know, Moore picked up 4 fouls in that quarter or in that half alone. Cousins didn't pick up any, but eventually, and we need to talk about this, and let's just do it now, picked up 2 more technicals, was ejected. I think this gives him 8 now on the season. Don't forget, he's halfway to the limit where you start getting suspended. And I said on Twitter when someone asked me about this, it's probably too early to say he's going to start missing key games for the Pelicans. One, who knows if the Pelicans are going to be in playoff contention. Maybe they're so good and they've put it all together by the end of the season that those games don't matter and they're solidly in. So if he's suspended, it doesn't even matter there. So we don't know yet. Maybe he just kind of stops and he got a double tech. It was in the fourth quarter with Kevin Durant. Durant already had a technical too. Both players were ejected. So Cousins gets tossed. The Pelicans get hurt. And my fantasy team, who has Kevin Durant, also gets hurt because he's tossed too. That was great. It's like a double blow to me here. And at a certain point, and I talked about this the other day when it came to the Anthony Davis ejection, he knows better than to charge at a ref. You can't debate me on this. People wanted to debate me on Twitter about this and be like, it's fine. I'm not saying it's not fine. He knows better, and he knows if he's going to do that, he's going to get ejected. So don't freaking do it. It's that fucking simple. Durant said the same thing. He goes, I didn't like the call. The other day he was ejected. I think he's been ejected in 3 out of his last handful of games or something like that. He just doesn't care right now. And I don't know if it's frustration or what with him, though. That's a different story. And frankly, we're not the Warriors podcast. We're not going to talk about Durant getting ejected a number of times here. But Durant came out and said, he goes, I have to know better. Like, these are the dudes who are in charge. They're going to eject me if I do this. I want the same fucking attitude for the Pelicans here. And you can tell I'm fired up by this when I swear. I don't try and swear.